here this morning. I said, once again, good morning, greetings and blessings to all of you in the name of Jesus. Blessings upon your home, your family. And a big hello to our grandkids from Grammy and Grampy, to all our grandkids. We miss you guys. Love you guys. And also yesterday, a big thank you to all who partook of our intercession time, praying over the city, over the region here, outdoors here behind the church. We had a good response, a good crowd showed up, and many more watched through the live streaming. So thank you guys for tuning in on that. I closed yesterday by just encouraging people to keep praying. Keep praying for the nation. Keep praying for the church. There's much more still ahead that we must prepare for, but at the same time, there's much that God wants to do in us, in equipping us and preparing us to grow in faith and to grow in our authority as believers, as sons and daughters of the Father. So it's from that aspect I want to enter into today's message. It's got to be a little bit different. It's got to be more of a teaching, but yet at the same time, those of you who have been a part of our ministry for some time know that I usually cover a lot of scriptures, but today it's going to be different. I'm really not going to cover a lot of scriptures in terms of reading passages. I'm going to make references to some scriptures, but I'm really going to base everything off three verses. And so I encourage you to get a pen and notepad. And so as I make references to other passages, just write those passages down. That way you can later on read through these passages I'll be making reference to as we go forward through this teaching. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you are watching over your people. I thank you, Lord, that even through the tough times, that, Lord, you're still revealing yourself and moving on behalf of your people, your children, your family. And, Lord, I lift up those today that, Lord, who have lost loved ones through this event. Lord, I know that there's many there that in some ways have just, Lord, wonder where you're at, why you didn't show up, but yet I know you're there. I know you're there because your word says you're there. So I just ask, Lord, you just minister grace and healing upon those that Lord, need your love, that need a touch of your presence in a supernatural way. Encourage them, love on them, and Lord, minister healing into their loss, into their moments of grief, and just show up and just be there. Walk with them through their pain in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that as we continue to walk with you in the days ahead, that you continue to teach us, Lord, grace us in our ability to hear you. Jesus, you declared that my sheep will know my voice. And Lord, we've come to a time where more than ever it's imperative that we learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. So Lord, continue to refine our ability, refine the skills within us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we will be able to just cue in and be able to just hear what you're saying, even in the subtle things by your Spirit, by the reading of your word, and Lord, by things you would speak to us directly by your own voice into our life. I thank you, Lord, that you declared that your sheep would know your voice. So I thank you, Lord, that promise, that declaration you made, Lord, will become real in us as we walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to read three verses, and I'm going to go forward from there. As I stated a while ago, I'm going to make references to other things. I'm going to cover some theology at the start here. Some of the language I'll be using may be new to some of you, but it is biblical. It is there in the Bible. Some of it is based out of Hebrew word definitions, but it is in the Bible. It's just Greek coming alive in that sense and how we interpret Scripture. And so we'll just touch on some things, and then I'm going to get down to the end of the message today where I'm going to zero in on some of the practical aspects, and then over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to zero in on the practical aspects of what God's doing with us to mature us, to grow us up as we go forward in the name of Jesus. So I want to begin by saying this. God is maturing his people to become the people of God he's intended for us to be all along. In our walk with the Lord individually of each other, we've all had different walks, different lifestyles, different backgrounds of theology. We've all been raised in different churches. I've been blessed with the fact that God has blessed me to be a part of several different denominations in my walk with the Lord. And it's graced me with an understanding of how each denomination can be genuine, can be real with the Lord, and yet at the same time that they have a limitation in what they do and how they walk by the revelation they walk in. It's not a negative thing. It's just that that's where they've camped out, and so as we grow in the Lord, revelation will change. And what I see God doing across the body of Christ today is that He's getting people beyond the walls of their denomination in regards to revelation and understanding of the Word of God. And that is a good thing, because we're going beyond man-made ideas, man-made precepts based from the Word of God, but camped out in certain areas. And God is saying, it's more than that. It's much more than that. And so He's just releasing some revelation and understanding into us, first of all, in our own walk spiritually, because a lot of people are just wondering, what does this mean? What is all this about? And the neat thing in that is that God hears those questions we have for Him. He's ready to answer those questions. And as we take time to read His Word, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you, and as you read a particular verse that would speak revelation to what you need, the Holy Spirit will illuminate it. It's what we call Rhema. And that's why we named this church Rhema Valley, a place where God would breathe fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh revelation on His Word as we read it. In other words, God takes what you're reading on the printed page, and by His Holy Spirit, He highlights it. He makes it burn in our heart, in our mind, in such a way that as we read it, it makes sense to us. It applies to us. And we see, I see it now. I understand it. And that's what God is doing across the body of Christ in our nation in many, many ways. God's going, taking us beyond denominational thinking. And I'm including charismatics in that, because charismatics have their own denominational mindset in many ways as well. We're not perfect. We have our own faults. We have our own failures. And so we're all in the same journey in this. There's one God, one faith, one Spirit, one Lord, and that's it. So He's doing something in the body of Christ that matures all into becoming one body with one God, one Lord, one Spirit for what He's doing and preparing us for the days ahead. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start with, let's make it all real fun here. Let's start with verse 22, and we're going to go down here. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, that has been a verse that has just been beat down by men who wanted to walk and control. And it's not about control, because as we read further, you'll see that it is far from control. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. So we see here, Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. It means He knows how to work in our life to preserve us, to keep us, to mature us, and to grace us with the authority to walk in His covenant-keeping power. That's pretty neat. He knows how to do it. That's why Hebrews says He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So many years ago, I tried living for God my way, and all it got me was in just more trouble and more chaos in my life. And it was a hit and miss walk with the Lord. Sometimes it was great. Sometimes I was just way off course. And it wasn't until I came to a place in my life where I was finally submitted to say, Jesus, You be Lord. You be Lord. You become the author and the perfecter of my faith. Lord, you begin to work in my life and show me how I am to walk and live with You. And I believe God's doing that in many ways with believers across the nation right now. Even in my own life today, I'm still having to step back and reevaluate some things and what we've been doing and how we've been doing it. Meaning, I need to fine-tune my abilities so I can continue to engage in walking with the Lord in the days we are in now. More than ever, we need to abide, abide, abide. So keep that in mind. Then it says, verse 25, husband, you love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. That's the other balance to verse 22. You see, the wives really won't fully submit until we love them as Christ loves them. Bottom line. But here's another part to the whole picture. It's actually found in verse 21, right before verse 22. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. That means we're all accountable one to another unto him. That means we're all submitted not only to each other, but unto the Lord in how we relate and minister to each other. You see, many years ago, as Phyllis and I got into our relationship, and then as we became married as one before the Lord, he one day reminded me that she's still a sister in the Lord. Yes, she's my wife, but she's still a sister in the Lord that I must honor and respect. And so that kind of just brought some things in regards to how, because she's still the father's daughter. She's my wife, but she's still the father's daughter. And so I had to realize, you know, that there's something special in this that I have to recognize and keep my mind aware of in how I relate with my wife. So I couldn't be the thumb-bearing, Lord-ruling kind of husband, because that's just not Jesus. That's just not Jesus. You know, amazing thing about Jesus, he lets us fail when sometimes we get puffed up in our pride. He lets us fail. Why? Because it's one of the ways he deals with us in regards to building humility in us and keeping us teachable. But the other side to that is we learn to walk in the Spirit. He then begins to instruct us in ways that keeps us from those kind of failures if we're willing to hear. So here we go. Here's the neat part now. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27, this is the whole foundation of my message. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not have a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, the church, should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. That's it. That is the Father's goal. He's preparing a bride. He's preparing a people that will carry his glory, carry his honor in a way we've never done before. And this, it's exciting times for us as believers. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll always have answers. If you keep your eyes on the problems, you'll continue to struggle in your faith. So keep your eyes on the Lord. He's the author and perfecter of our walk. So here we go, our theology aspect in this process. One, we see in verse 27, he's going to present himself a glorious church. A glorious church. Great in anointing, great in power. It's going to be Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, and I refer to it as Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4 type church on steroids. It's going to be greater and beyond anything we've ever known in our church history. And it involves kingdom authority, government authority. So I'm going to introduce to you another term called ecclesia. Another term called ecclesia. It's a word that describes church or the called out ones, but it's really much more than that. So let me read it to you. He's also going to set forth his ecclesia through or from a modern day Acts experience. These two terms, the glorious church and ecclesia, speak of a people who have a genuine pure heart. Believers who have submitted to God's work of regeneration and transformation. Key phrase, who have submitted. That's the challenge we have in our day, in what we're doing today. So what is this understanding? What does ecclesia mean? Ecclesia speaks of something much more than a church gathering, a coming together of believers. It also speaks of those who've gathered to seek God's presence and God's counsel. Two things involved with that, to rightly decree and declare the will of God. And second with that, to acquire spiritual wisdom and power to expose demonic works and to overthrow these demonic works. That's part of the authority of the ecclesia. So it boils down to this. I've wrote it in one simple sentence. What is the ecclesia? It's those who have learned to walk in and carry out kingdom authority and kingdom assignments. You see, there's people out there that are doing it already. Maybe they never heard the word ecclesia, but they're walking it out. They're actually walking in kingdom authority. They're living out their kingdom assignment. We call it destiny. They're walking into their destiny. They discover something about the will of God, and they understand their purpose in life. They understand what their future holds, and they're walking towards their destiny. What they're doing is they're walking out their authority as they called out ones, those who have been anointed in grace for a particular purpose or plan of God. So there's many people out there that are walking in ecclesia authority. They just don't know it. So in our framework of our relationship of charismatic ministries and so forth, it's a term we use to describe kingdom authority among believers. That's it. So God's wanted to do something in his body of believers across this nation where we understand our authority in a way we've not done yet. And that, to me, key. It's essential for us in the weeks and months ahead, because those who have been a part of this ministry and been a part of the last few weeks, this is just the first of many things to come. God's using it as a wake-up call to his church, to his people. At the same time, he's also using it as an avenue of preparation for the bigger battles coming down the line. In sports terms, it's like this. It's a scrimmage. It's not quite the real thing yet, but it's getting us ready for the real thing. Okay? That makes sense. That in my brain of understanding, that helps me articulate it in a simple way. So Scripture makes very clear that when Jesus returns, his bride, the church, will be walking in its greatest outpouring of power and authority. The church was birthed from an Acts 2 experience, and in Acts 4 we see that the church was strengthened and empowered to move forward in its authority. Not back, forward. Why? Because at that point they began to face their first real acts of persecution. This is when they began to realize that there's opposition to the gospel. The apostles had been jailed, they'd been whipped, they'd been sent out, they don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. What did they do? They had a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit fell, and it empowered them with the boldness to keep going and to go forward in the gospel. So, amen. And at that moment, we see that also Peter stands up and gives the first evangelistic message, which he quotes from Joel 2:28-32, about this very thing. And that something else goes with that as well. So he went forward, but also in Joel 2:23, Joel states of a coming latter rain. Of a coming latter rain. They experienced the first rain there in Acts 2 and Acts 4, but something was far greater was coming down the road. And it's an end-time outpouring that will be even greater than what the early church experienced. Now, the amazing part is that several prophets speak of this very same latter rain. So it wasn't just Joel. Matter of fact, I was reading through it, there's like five different prophets that spoke of this very same thing. Now, most people equate this type of supernatural outpouring with salvations. And yes, salvations are a benefit, a blessing that come from these divine outpourings. But the real or the primary purpose for the outpouring is to mature his people, to mature the people of God. So right now, there's a lot of shaking going on in regards to people questioning their thoughts or theology and a lot of what ifs and what's God doing. Well, there's something deeper he's doing inside of us at the same time. It's called digging a well for revelation. And God has an amazing way of sneaking up on us and preparing us for those kind of moments, those kind of encounters. And so I'm just believing, within our congregation here, several have already had comments like that where God's given them specific revelation to minister to them in their own walk. And I'm just believing he's doing it across the nation, across the board, in every denomination. He's just bringing forth a revelation word that's helping them dig deep so that the word that is planted will begin to take root in such a way that no matter the storms that come, they're not broken. They bend with the storm, but they don't break. Amen? So in Zechariah 10, the prophet makes it very clear that God is doing a work to mature his people. In Zechariah 10, verse 1 says this, "In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds, and he will give them showers of rain, and the grass will become richly green." Now, first time I read that, I thought, like, well, that's an analogy to something. And so as I studied it out, it was really interesting. It was really amazing. The showers of rain speak of an ongoing outpouring of his spirit. Not a one-time event. It's more than a one-time event, but it's an ongoing release in which he empowers his people in a continuous pattern, a continuous motion of his spirit. Some people refer to this wave upon wave upon wave. Bottom line is that as we abide, he's going to continue to grace us with what we need to rise above, to walk through the storms, and to rise above the circumstances. Amen. And I need that. So this end-time outpouring is going to be God getting his people ready to help them mature us to become the glorious bride, the glorious church that Paul speaks about it in 5:27, Ephesians 5:27. In Gill's commentary, he worded it this way, and this pouring forth of this rain, he said he equated the flashing clouds as God gracing his people. We're the flashing clouds. How does he describe it? He says it this way, that we become ministers of the gospel who are of God's making. Ministers of the gospel who are of God's making. That means that it wasn't the plan of men. We weren't built by the teaching of others. We are built by the handiwork of God's Spirit in us and by the revelation of his word being planted in us. We are his handiwork. Gee, that sounds like Ephesians 2:10. You see, what God started then, he's going to complete in the coming days, coming years. So this end-time outpouring is going to be something that's going to be greater than the church has ever experienced. This end-time supernatural outpouring will be both a personal experience and a corporate experience. But it's going to be something that's going to be bigger than we've ever known. I wrote it this way. This personal experience and this corporate experience will go beyond the walls of a church building. It will go beyond the framework of denominational settings. It's bigger than all of that. It's bigger than all of that. Many years ago, as we were going through a Bible study in our church there in San Angelo, I was a young spirit-filled believer, we were going through the book of Acts, and I saw different things about the power of the early church and different things, and I'd look at our church, and I'd hear the things we were teaching, some of the things we were experiencing, and our church was in the midst of a Holy Spirit revival. We didn't quite understand it. We just knew God was doing things. Yet at the same time, I saw some things like that. Well, we're not there yet. We're not what I see in Acts. Even though we're seeing some supernatural things here, we're not there yet. So I just one day inquired of the Lord, "Lord, when will it come? Will it come?" He said something amazing to me. He said, "Ollie, when my people learn to walk with me individually in my power, then corporately I will release my church." That has stuck with me ever since. He said, when my people learn to walk with me individually in that power, he said, then I will send forth, I will call forth the church to rise up at that point. So it's like he's preparing an army. He is preparing an army, a spiritual army. But he's preparing us for a day in which he will say, now, go to the nations, go to the nations. It's going to be such a supernatural event. Phyllis and I were talking about this the very morning. I believe that when it happens, it's even going to surprise us who believe in all this. It's even going to surprise us at how magnificent, how glorious it's going to be, and how God's going to do some amazing things beyond even our experience and understanding. Many years ago, when we decorated the sanctuary, I came across this banner behind us here, and I loved it because, to me, it signified the future of where we're going. I'm going to turn around so you can see the banner here. I picked this banner because it symbolizes Jesus blowing the shofar, calling forth the final harvest from all the nations. That's why I love this, because it was symbolic to me of where the church is going. This is our future. And God is getting us ready in many different ways. Each of us have different walks with the Lord. We've all had different experiences, but he's after the same thing. We're going to become a people who are his people, his church, in a whole new level of understanding. Yes, salvations are the reward, the fruit, and the harvest of a mature people, a mature church. So what does that mean for us on a personal basis? Well, I'm going to cover four simple things, what this means for us on a personal basis. I think I'm slowed down here a bit. Tend to get ahead of myself at times. It all begins in our own personal walk with the Lord. We can't build and live off somebody else's faith. We're coming into a time where we must establish in our own self a faith that is alive, that is life given to us. I can't live off the revelation of a word of somebody else. I can glean from it. I can learn from it. I can receive from it and how it applies to my life. But I must live off the manna, the daily bread that he has for me. And that's part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. The problem with our church is that too often within many of our churches, the people rely on the pastor, his daily bread. We're coming to a place where now we have to learn to go before the Lord and really seek him for his daily bread. And so he's doing something really much deeper than what we've known in many ways. So I boil it down to four things, and what does it mean for us on a personal basis? One, we have to be honest about our spiritual condition. We have to be honest about our spiritual condition. We can't be false, we can't be fake. We can't put on a facade. That's what I'm looking for. We can't put on a facade. We've got to be open and transparent. Second thing is we got to be willing to embrace the changes needed. We've got to be willing to embrace the changes needed. As the Lord speaks to us, as the Lord reveals things, we've got to be willing to change. And a lot of people are afraid of change. But here, look at it this way. As a father with our children, as we would introduce changes to them, we always did it from a heart of love and a loving hope for them in terms of maturing them, growing them up. And sometimes we would trust them in ways that we would, as a parent, we'd like, you know, I'm not sure about this, but I know we got to do it. For example, first time you ever took your kid out and taught them how to drive. You know, for most parents, that's the last thing we want to do in some ways, because you're not sure what they're going to do, or you know their personality enough that you know that they're going to do something wrong here. But yet we still do it. Yet we still step out and do it. And there's going to be these kind of moments with the Father as he challenges us into maturity. There's going to be those moments where we're just, you know, I don't want to do this, but yet he's saying, you've got to do it. But I don't want to do it, yet you've got to do it. See, a day comes when you got to get in the car yourself and drive yourself to work. Mom and Dad aren't going to do it anymore. It's the same way for us spiritually. A day comes when we got to walk out our faith, not dependent on somebody else, but one-on-one with the Lord. So we must embrace change. The third thing is we must be willing to plant and build according to the Father's plans, not man's, not Pastor Ollie's. You may glean from what you're hearing today, but you can't build from what I'm walking in. You've got to apply it and put it together with what God is speaking into your life. That's what you build upon. You build upon his word for you, no other man's, no other person's. You glean from them, but you can't build from them. I think that's been part of our problem within our churches, why too often we try and build off somebody else's vision. And we've not taken time to seek the Father for his vision for our life. And the fourth thing, we must be ready to repent when God requires it. We must be ready to repent when God requires it. I'm not a perfect man. I have my faults. I have my failures. I have my up and downs as a husband. I've had my up and downs as a father. Matter of fact, many years ago, as our children were in our home, there was a couple times I had to call a family meeting and apologize to my children because I'd blown it. I'd done something wrong. I approached a problem the wrong way, and I had to apologize to them. Well, one day I blew really bad, really big bad. I just felt like a heel, and I knew I needed to do it in a way, and so I did this little object lesson as the family came home one day and just told my wife and my kids, I've been a big heel, and, you know, and at the moment it was kind of tough, but later on for our kids it became one of their funny moments in life with Daddy, because it spoke to their hearts, and so, you know, we've got to be willing to repent when we need to repent. Be honest, be teachable, be transparent. You see, we may fool others around us, but we can't fool the Father. So you might as well be honest with your Father so you can be honest with those around you. Amen? So I'll be honest, you know, today where I'm at in my life, you know, as I've been preparing this message, there's already things God's been stirring my heart about Ollie. We need to go deeper here. Ollie, we need to do less of that and go deeper here, change this. And there's things he's working in me right now. But it's all for the good. It's all for the good. As a father desires good gifts for his children, so our Heavenly Father also is desiring to impart into us spiritual giftings and spiritual abilities that will strengthen us as men and women of God. It's all good. Every change, even though sometimes it comes with pain, it's all good. And then once you go through the pain, once you go through the spiritual spanking, it says that after it's come the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Because now we see the finished work. We see the fruit that's produced from our obedience. And we think, man, I'm glad I submitted to that. I'm glad I went through that, because today I'm a better person because of that. And that's what God is after. He's wanting to mature us so that we grow in who we are. He wants to enhance our personality while nurturing us as stewards of his grace and mercy as we become Christ-like. There's friends of ours that have a unique personality that make us laugh out loud. They're just the life of the party. And yet, even in the life of the party, they can be more like Jesus in the midst of the life of the party. So now there's a double richness to their life of who they are. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. He wants to add a richness to our lives so that when we show up, it's not just, oh, great, they're here. But now it's, oh, great, they're here. That's what he's wanting to do with all of us. And how he works this out will be different for all of us. To some, it may seem and be similar, but also in some ways, it's going to be radically different for some of us. Because this is a whole new highway we're on, a whole new road of relationship and revelation that we're walking out with our Jesus. So it's a whole new way of doing things. But the goal is the same. This is what it says in Ephesians 4:13. The goal is this: till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the Father's goal. And Paul said it this way in Galatians 4:19. He said, I'm going to labor with you guys at Galatia. I'm going to labor with you guys until Christ is formed in you. That's it. That's the Father's goal, that we mature into the fullness of the stature of Jesus, that Christ is so formed in us that people see Jesus in us and through us more than they ever have before. And I think that's a great thing. I think that's an awesome thing. But it's something that we must desire. And as we submit, as we embrace it, then God, as he prepares us for this great outpouring that's coming, as he prepares us, he will position each of us where we need to be spiritually in order to receive what's going to be our mantle, our anointing for that day. So don't measure yourself by others. Measure yourself by what Jesus is saying to you. Measure yourself according to the word and obedience to what he's saying. I'm calling you to be this. That's our goal. And as we position ourselves in his plan, in his pattern, then when that outpouring is released, you will be a recipient of something supernatural beyond something we've never known before. I encourage you, keep walking with Jesus. This is not an event that's going to overwhelm us. It's like I said a while ago, it's a scrimmage. He's getting us ready for the greater things ahead. He is going to come back for a glorious church, a glorious bride. Lord, I thank you that you continue to grace us with the ability to embrace your handiwork. Lord, we've been saved for a reason. Yes, we're called to be good husbands. Yes, we're called to be good fathers, good grandfathers, good grandparents. But Lord, we're also called to be faithful servants. So I thank you, Lord, you empower us to become faithful servants of whatever area of ministry, area of life that you have planted us in, that we would plant and prosper, that would produce fruit, that would touch the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings. Have a great day. Go in the joy of the Lord. Be a bright light, not a dim lit. Amen.